Yeah, just the kids are just right beforehand. Someone was asking me about, you were asking me about the issue of bread. Giving bread to people, I want to answer a little more. Giving bread to people who are not going to wash, not make a bracha rishayin. If you remember, we discussed the issue of inviting a Mechalal Shabbos over who is going to drive, and whether being machshel him is considered to be a lifnei iver, loisitei michshel. Although some paiskim aser, but we do have a teirim from both Rav Shlomo Zalman and from Rav Moshe Sternbaum that you are allowed to invite a person, assuming you offer him accommodations. You are allowed to invite him for a Shabbos meal. And the svara would be that if this is part of a plan in which you're trying to be makarif him, so in effect, even though you're gairim and aveira now, but in the long run, at least you have a chance, you'll be matzel him from chait. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says in Lamdas, the isser of being machshul a person in an aveira is because it's an eitz hashena hagenislai. In other words, it's not for his benefit. If it'll be for his benefit, there are heterim. So again, there's a big machlokas, but this is what Rav Shlomo Zalman says.
Let's say you could do without it. Like a shul doesn't have to serve bread by their
I talked about Shabbos. Now I'm going to talk about bread. Seder, right? You got to follow Seder. Okay. Yeah, so you have to listen. Okay. So this is the issue of Shabbos. This is the issue of Shabbos. Shabbos, not bread. Not bread. Okay? We now come to question number two, and that is bread. Okay? Now, bread could be during the week, too. Now, you have two shilas. Anytime you're offering food, you have a problem of bracha rishayna, which is lifnei iver, and the Shulchan Aruch indeed paskins as a matter of abstract halacha, that you don't give bread to you don't give anything to someone who's not going to make a bracha rishayna. And then, of course, with the tila shadayim, you have an additional problem of not washing, of not making hamaitzi, and also not making birchas hamazon, which is also a chiyuv d'oraisa if the person ate bread and it was kedei sevia. So here, the considerations are a little different. Lagabe bracha rishayna generally, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, along the same svara, if not offering him something, water, soda, juice, there would be a chilul Hashem. You would think, you know, some plumber is fixing your house or fixing your air conditioner and it's 110 degrees and you don't give him something to drink, it's a chilul Hashem. So fakir, to be masalim from chilul Hashem, it's going to be okay. Now, mashain kain, if it's just a social event, ain't a chinami, just invite a person over. Even if it's not bread, bracha rishayna is going to be a problem, right? Now, the issue of bread is you're actually 100% correct. In many, many Eifanim, bread is worse than stam bracha rishayna, right? For two reasons. Number one, in addition to not making bracha rishayna, you have a problem of netila shadayim. And number two, you have a problem of birchas hamazon d'oraisa. So b'chiyai gavna, you're 100% correct. If the chilul Hashem could be averted, right? Rav Shlomo Zalman's yisayit is not offering chilul Hashem. If chilul Hashem could be averted by something else, so memela b'chiyai gavna, there's no reason to offer bread. Now, what that would mean is the following. Now, your question is about a shul. That's very, very tricky. So if I offer somebody food Shabbos afternoon, or in the middle of the afternoon, and he's not going to wash, so I shouldn't give him bread because the chilul Hashem could be avoided by other things. Now, what if I have a shul? We have a suda shalishis, and there are people who show up who aren't going to wash, not going to make hamaitzi, and not going to bench. Would you say that the shul has a chiyuv to be samech on the shitas that suda shalishis could be with mezainis and not serve bread? Because now that for sure not. Rav Moshe already says that when a person is simply doing mitzvahs for himself, and the taitzah of those mitzvahs is that somebody might be nichshol bi'aveira, that's vadei not lifnei iver. So there's a big nafkamina between my serving somebody bread and my having bread at a function to which he just shows up, and memela, I'm not mechuyev to be meineya the tzibur from bread, which is elechatchila, because of him. I don't know if that went to you.
I remember I spoke to my father about our shul makes a pretty big kiddush Shabbos day.
Right.
Like they serve their chant eggs, pretty much it's close to a meal. And people were pushing that they should serve pizza or whatever, bread already. and make it into a Suda, so people, because anyways, people are either going to work or wherever they're going, they're not having a Suda Shabbos anyway, so they said, make a Suda. So my father kept saying, if you do that, then people are not, they're not going to wash, they're not going to make bracha on the bread, so anyways, they're not going to bench either, so why should we do that? Most of the congregants, 90% of them wouldn't bench.
I hear the cheshbon. I would just be mechalak between a kiddush Shabbos morning and a suda shlichus. Now, the kiddush Shabbos morning, people are going to go home and wash. So, b'meila, you're not machshel them. But not to serve bread at suda shlichus means.
There might be a chiluk.
There might be a chiluk. Now, it would seem, although I don't know if it's always shayach in every gila, but it's often shayach if a shul is running something, you can have the rav be mitzi them in a bracha. And even say benching afterwards. In other words, just like we're mitzi in Alamichya, even though the halacha is that when a chachilis person should bench for themselves, but it's shaykh to be mitzi, so that might be a way out. Yeah, but you are correct. What you said is correct, that there is a special cheshbon with bread, not because not washing is more chomer than chilul Shabbos, it isn't, but because the heter of avoiding chilul Hashem is not mechayev that you get yourself in that extra thing. Yeah.
So in the yeshiva, like in Mar Sameach, in a daily basis, not on a Shabbos, where a lot of the people will not wash, will not bench, and sometimes Bedafka will not, because at this stage he's not ready, even though you have the thing that you're doing it for a good cause, but eventually open, but in this case, you could just not say bread.
It's a good cheshva, but I think the answer would be that if the pshat is, a guy walks in and I say, here, take a piece of bread, I shouldn't do that. But if the pshat is, the yeshiva shouldn't make bread available for anybody because somebody, in other words, that goes back to the svara, that if people are doing mitzvos kahalacha, you don't have an achrayas that somebody else will be
nikshal.
In other words, what's your alternative? The yeshiva shouldn't offer bread,
That's one. Or
so that you don't have
so
to do.
In this yeshiva, fine. But in the yeshiva, it was 100% for every year starts the same way that 99% of the bachrim would be not doing it.
They shouldn't be. JLD guys get falafel sandwiches sometimes.
They shouldn't be having bread.
There's a svara. Now, you might argue, though, that to come to Israel and not be offered falafel, that might be chilul Hashem. I'm saying they expect it. In other words, if I invite a non-from guy to my house for steak, he may not expect there has to be bread.
Right.
No, we have steak. But falafel is a different thing. That's like the minhag hamakom. Yeah.
Is anyone who holds that you can be yotzi someone even though he has no kavanah to be yotzi? Someone, you have people coming to your house and you know they're going to serve bracha, but you have to give them food. Can you serve bracha even though they have no intention to be yotzi? Put it on and start. So you say, like, before you pick someone and say, I'm a yotzi and I'm
a yotzi. I understand. In other words, it would be a lot easier if I could just mumble a bracha for him without telling him what it is, even.
That's even better,
unfortunately.
Is there no one who says it? There's no man.
I don't believe so. Unfortunately, you need the kavana, which means I would have to tell the person something like, I don't have to make a big speech, but something like, we make blessings before we eat, and I'm making the blessings for us together.
And he's passive.
That's good. That's good enough. As long as he understands, we're making a blessing to God for the unit.
What about saying on the Monday and
That would be good. That would be Yaitse, but certainly Bichus mustn't dear right, so you'd be Yaitse. Yeah.
That would be a good solution. You make a social event.
What's the mile? Because it's very short, you mean?
It's short. It's just short. The same way you say thank you to the cook, you say to the one who brought the food to the cook.
Okay, it would be something. It would be better than nothing, sir. Well, the question becomes, at least midrabanan, are there mechayiv in the four brachos of Birchas Hamazon? So that's the question, is there lifnei iver on an isser drabanan?
But you'd be
bringing it down one level, yeah.
You lose out your own Birchas Hamazon.
Say again?
You lose out your own Birchas Hamazon. Once you said it, you can't go back and say your own again.
Yeah. Unless you're mechaven not to be yaitze, which is a question.
You're yaitze everyone else.
So that's a question generally. Can I be mitzi you and be mechaven not to be yaitze? Now you have a raya from the Gemara by Kiddush.
Right.
The Gemara says by Kiddush in Beis HaKnesses is shalei b'makom suda. So I'm not yaitze, but we make Kiddush and shul for orchim who eat. Many rishonim say that even a guy that's not eating could be mitzi the people who are eating. Right, because even though he's not Yaitse Kiddush, it's shayach for him to be mitzi. So the Yerushalmi says the same thing by Mikra Megillah, by a mukaf and a pruz, that somebody who's chayav let's say someone who's chayv in Megillah and Tesvav, because he lives here, could read Megillah and Yudalit for somebody, you know, who's chayv, or Bnei HaKnisa, you know, the different Yudalit, Yudbeis, etc., that the people of the Ayaris could read for people of the Kvarim. In other words, you see such a svara that it's shayach for me to be maitzi somebody, even though I'm bedafka, not yaitzi. See, it's really just a reversal of the familiar rule. We all know, if I was already yaitzi, I could be maitzi. So this is looking at it the opposite. Even if I wasn't yaitzi yet, I could be maitzi. Right? It's a similar idea. Yeah.
You mentioned Shabbos and Birchas Hamazon and benching, but yeah. Does it come to the same thing with like Basar B'Challah? Like let's say the shul, I don't, for a while my father didn't want to serve like a Feshik Sulishlishi, or even a Feshik Kiddush, because the Persians would go home and have cheese breakfast afterwards. That's like
no, so there I'll tell you. There I'll tell you like this. Baruch Hashem. I mean, it's good to be machmer these days. But I do want to tell you that that's a very different cheshvan, because l'mashal, according to Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, there's actually no chiyuv. I mean, we don't possibly Rabbeinu Tam at all. But there's no chiyuv at all to wait between fleishiks and milchiks. And the Rabbeinu Tam learns as long as it's a new suda. Right now, even though we're not noyig like Rabbeinu Tam bichlal, nobody tells her, even you know Yaki's an hour, but nobody follows Rabbeinu Tam. But it's brought down shteitin lifneiver that if I cause somebody to do something that there's like any shita in halacha that matters it, even if it's something we don't paskin like, that's not called lifneiver. So for me to be machshil somebody to do something that according to Rabbeinu Tam is mutter, I would not be lift neighbor. So I think over there is a hedger. This is the achrayim. I have to say, I'll get you a mikra. But the many achrayim say this. It's very makubal that even a das yachid that is nitcheh lahalacha, if it's an authoritative das yachid, it is not a lift neighbor to cause somebody to be iver to follow that das yachid, even if he's iver on what the halacha psuka is. Okay, so that was one thing. So I want to talk a little bit about tonight, a little bit of a miscellany of actually very, very interesting shilas. I won't say that this will come to you every day, so it's not going to be, I'm going to face this every single day, but they are interesting shilas. Some of them involve gayris, and some of them involve also gayris, but in the context of reproduction. Different types of kids are created in different ways, and some of them need gayris, and some of them don't need gayris. You know, artificial, you know, IVF and surrogacy and just to go over some of the basic things. First of all, one shaila you will have, especially if you go into Rabbanis, and you will have it probably in any type of kiruv if you work with adults, married people, that is, you know, adoption. Adoption is a big issue. I mean, unfortunately, sometimes people don't have their own children, their own natural children. Even if they have natural children, they want to be marchiv their family. So people adopt, right? People adopt. Now, when people adopt, you know, so obviously Rav Moshe has a long tshuva. Rav Moshe, by the way, was not a big chassid of adoption. Okay, be it as it may. But is it, you'll often hear it said, if you're adopting, it's better to adopt a goy than a Jew. Mm-hmm. Now, that has to be defined very carefully. It's not really true. It is certainly a much bigger mitzvah to adopt a Jew than a goy. It's gemilas chesed to give a Yiddish child a home. But what the Welt means when they say it's better to adopt a goy rather than, they don't mean it's a bigger mitzvah, it's much bigger to take care of a Jewish child, but they mean there are fewer shilas in adopting a goy than adopting a Jew. Because when you adopt a Jew and you're not sure about the parents, sometimes you could know, but if you're not sure, then chas v'shalom, the Jewish child might have the din of a shtuki, or an asufi. Shtuki and asufi is simply categories where we don't know who the father is, or we don't know who the mother is, and it's shayach, therefore, that it was an eishes ish that was mezana, and the child might be a suffolk mamzer, and a suffolk mamzer is very, very chomer, because a suffolk mamzer is really kind of stuck. A suffolk mamzer is more chomer, at least midrabanan, than a vadai mamzer, because a vadai mamzer can marry a mamzeris. A suffolk mamzer cannot marry a regular Yisrael, and cannot marry a mamzer, because maybe he's not a mamzer. The only person he could marry is a gioris, because a gioris, mimanavshach. Right? In other words, a mamzer can marry a ger, and a Yisrael can marry a ger. So a shtuki and a sufi can marry a ger or a gioris. Now, Masha'inkin, when you adopt a non-Jewish child, mamzeris is not an issue. First of all, even as goyim, there's no mamzeris, and even if there would be mamzeris, the geiris would erase any prior chisaron of adultery, because ger shen iskayer kekatan shenay ladami. So when the Velt says better to adopt a goy, they don't mean intrinsically, but they mean you have less of a shaila of mamzeris. In fact, the emes is Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the great Rav of Brisk, Rav Chaim. Apparently, Brisk had unwed mothers. Brisk had single women, the Burmazana, and they used to routinely just drop their kids over at the Rav's house. Rav Chaim raised, in his Rebbetzin, raised scores of Asufis and Shtukis and the like, and he married them off in various ways. So, in fact, that's what the Olam says. The Olam says there are two Gedolim that the world does not evaluate correctly. One was Rav Chaim and one was the Chafetz Chaim. Everybody looks at Rav Chaim as the Gain and the Chafetz Chaim as the Tzaddik, but the emes is Rav Chaim was a bigger Tzaddik than he even was a Gain, and the Chafetz Chaim was a bigger Gain than he was a Tzaddik. Meaning to say, the Tzidkus overshadowed the Gainess of the Chafetz Chaim, and the Gainess of Rav Chaim overshadowed the Tzidkus, but in fact, he was tremendously great. On his matseva in Warsaw, he died in Warsaw because he went there for medical treatment. A lot of Gedolim died in Warsaw precisely because towards the end of their lives they went there for the best the doctors. The one thing it says on Rav Chaim's matseva is Isha Chesed. That's exactly what it says. Yeah.
It said, a Warsaw married a Ger.
That's correct. And the reason is because no matter what he is, he could marry a Ger. If he's a Mamzer, he could marry a Ger. If he's not a Mamzer, he could marry a Ger. So at a Sufi shtuk, he would never...
So the Mamzer in, Mamzer.
Well, there'll be a Sufik.
If it's again, a Mamzer, then the Mamzer...
Yes. If a Mamzer marries a Geyaris or a Mamzeris marries a Ger, the child, unfortunately, continues to be a Mamzer. Now, the Mishnah in Kedushin says, Derech Agav, there is only one way, Beheter, that a Mamzer could prevent his children from being Mamzerim. Rabbi Tarfon says it. If a mamzer, and this only works for a male mamzer, if a male mamzer marries a shifcha kenainis, which he's allowed to do, the vlad of a shifcha is an eved, and when you're meshacher, the eved, he's like a ger, he's like a Yisrael. Now this only works if a mamzer marries a shifcha. If a mamzeris marries an eved, that's not going to work in such a case. Now, today, the way that could work would be an aveira, but it could work. I mean, you're not allowed to do it. If a mamzer were to marry a non-Jewish woman, which he's not allowed to do, you'd have the same effect. Mamzer marries non-Jewish woman, child is a goy. When the goy converts, he's not a mamzer. But the nafkamina is, a mamzer is allowed to marry a shifcha kenainis. A mamzer is not allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman. So the eitzah today is not edgy. By the way, as an aside, although you're not going to get this shiloh, who knows, there is no halachic impediment in having a shifcha kenainis bisman hazeh. An evet ivri is only nayeg when there's yayvel. But evet kenani can apply bisman hazeh, which means it may be illegal, but you are allowed to have a non-Jewish slave.
I thought I heard that there was some sort of tshuva from someone well-respected to go to one of these crazy Eastern.
Yes. This has been suggested that if a person is a male mamzer, in fact, you can even do it. I mean, it's a madna how to do this, but a person go over to a non-Jewish woman, and say, not a great dating line. But he says, "I'd like you to be my slave." Now, what you have to do is there's a procedure. Just go to the mikveh, be tovel l'shem shifcha. Halachic, of course, that means she's chayevus and mitzvahs ki'isha at that point, which is the same as a Jewish woman, actually. You are now halachically my shifcha. You know, I'll treat you good, but halachically you're my shifcha. And as a result, any little children we have are little avodim that will then be meshacher with the star shicher, and they're yidden. Halachically, that could actually happen.
Do people do this?
I'm not aware of anybody doing it, but it's yes, that's a question. Are you allowed to? You're not allowed to be meshacher in Eved Kenani, but some say in a case where you're doing it to be metahir your yichas.
They're not Kenani if you go up to a goy woman.
Say again.
They won't be Kenani if you go up to some goy in
America. No, okay, so Eved Kanani is a misnomer. Eved Kanani doesn't mean it has to be a Canaanite servant. It just means a non-Jewish servant. So any Christian, anything would be fine. In fact, Pumfakert, it's interesting that the one group of nations that you really cannot have an Eved from is Canaanim, because you have to kill them. They're the seven nations. So Eved Kanani is really a synonym for non-Jewish slaves.
Yeah. So you could really buy a slave from the East and bring her back here, and
you have to buy her. It's free.
Well, I gave you a freeway, but yeah, yeah.
You have the buyer, but then she'd be chayav in all mitzvahs?
Well, Shifcha Kananis is chayavis in mitzvahs like a woman. So if she's a woman, it's the same as a woman. For a man, you know, it's a little different because he's chayav. Right. Now, she has to go to the mikveh. Until she goes to the mikveh, in other words, merely owning a non-Jew as a slave does not create a chayav mitzvah. The chayav mitzvah is to the tefillah, and for an Eved, it's milah and tefillah. So until there's milah and tefillah, the Eved Kanani is not chayav in mitzvah.
She has to agree to keep mitzvahs? How can you convince some Eastern slave woman to...
Well,
it's not a practical case.
It would be an issue. You know, you'd have to... it would be an issue.
But if a guy who's a monster comes to you and he wants to get married, that's the best advice?
Well, the Pashtus, no. The best advice we say is... marry a Gioris. I mean, it's a tough situation.
Why do Gioris do that?
Well, you know, Chazal, it's a rough situation. All I'm saying is, Chazal say a Mamzer Talmud Chacham is greater than a Kohen Gadol Amoritz, meaning it might very well be. I mean, there are, I'm not aware of anyone Lamaisa, but I've heard cases of people whose mothers unfortunately didn't get a get from a first marriage, and halachically the person was a mamzer and he was a chayzer b'tshuva and he became a big talmid chacham. I mean, I've heard great talmid chacham, at least stories they tell of great talmid chachamim that had the pagam. It's a tragic situation. I mean, shifcha is a theoretical possibility, but as they say, operationally it would be difficult to achieve. But it is interesting that Eved Ivri cannot exist today. The musig of Eved Ivri cannot exist LP Din until we have Yovel. But Eved Kanani has no limitation. That could exist even Bizman Azat. Yeah.
Are you
going to
go through what lender somebody
wants? Well, I'll mention it. It's not that difficult. Do you want something?
So if a mamzer should get married to
Well, the Vichas Chinuch actually discusses whether a mamzer is chayiv in Piri of Arivia. And many Achrayim say a mamzer is chayiv in Piri. Now, the Vichas Chinuch himself is mitzadeh. Right, the Vichas Chinuch is mitzadeh that he doesn't think it's logical there would be a chayiv of Piri of Arivia to be marbe mamzerim. The Vichas Chinuch is mitzadeh such a thing. But he does bring the Farish that there are posukim that say explicitly a mamzer is mechuyev in piriviri, even if he's marbe mamzerim. Again, in some ways you have to look at it in many ways. I mean, even a mamzer is chayev in mitzvahs. A mamzer learns. A marbe, you know, is marbe mitzvahs and maisim tovim in the world. It's not like his life isn't worth anything. So to say, oh, if you're producing mamzerim, those lives are useless, that's not emes. Yeah.
Isn't there a Gemara that says that post Matan Torah were in a worse state than Bnei Noach in the time of the Mamzer? Because we are molid Mamzer and they're not.
Enochinami. But that just means, again, that doesn't mean don't do it. That just means it's a chaval that we have this pagam. But nevertheless, better to have a life with Pagam than not to have a life at all. Now, Mamzeris generally, let me just say B'kitzer, I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with this. Mamzeris is often translated as illegitimate, but it is not the same at all. The term illegitimate in English includes kids that are born out of wedlock. In other words, single, you know, parents are not married. Out of wedlock kids are not mamzerim at all. They are totally okay. And even if it's a ben nida, there might be a spiritual pagam, but halachically there's no disability on a child of a nida. To be a mamzer, we have to have a situation where it's either an eishes ish, who is halachically married, who is mizane with somebody, or even raped, it just doesn't have to be brotzen, or incest, chas v'shalom, a brother, sister, parent, child that produces mamzeris. And as you know, the psak, just to mention it, agav, although it's not my topic tonight, but meinyan is always good, mention agav, this is something that's very nogeya, our talmidim over the years, and that is people are, you know, kids are born from second marriages, right? You're a baal tshuva born from a second marriage. Mother did not get a get from her first husband. If mother did not get a get from her first husband, a bazai is the second marriage zunus, which would create mamzeris. It's a big problem. And again, this is not because of aguna. We're not talking about first husband was a bad guy. Just, you know, they weren't religious. They didn't care. They got a civil divorce. They didn't get a religious divorce. So here, the mahalach of Rav Maisha, very sadistic of mahalach, is that b'derech klal, the first marriages are often batal. They're not valid marriages. Why? Because if there were not kosher edim, who were shomer Shabbos, at the time of the first marriage, it's not a valid maisa kedushin. If it's, even if the both parties admit that they were married, and if it's not a valid maisa kedushin, you don't need a get. If you don't need a get, then the second marriage is not adultery. Aye, the second marriage, there's no maisa kedushin either. Mm-hmm. That might be true, but that doesn't make you a mamzeris. In other words, it converts who would be a kid who would be a mamzer into a kid who is born out of wedlock. But the kid who is born out of wedlock is not a mamzer. So Rav Moshe's Yisayt was matzil many, many, many people from the problem of mamzeris, so many, many talmidim of this yeshiva over the years. Now I want to point out that there is a Yisaytistik of machlekes between Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin, and this has repercussions for Rav Yashiv, should be well, Shlomo Zalman is as well, and that is the following. Rav Moshe's shita was that if you didn't have kosher edim at the time of the chuppah, and you assume in conservative reform marriages that you didn't have kosher edim, although you have to be baidik, so the whole kedushin is bottle, even though they lived together for many years as ish v'isha, and they were known to do so by neighbors or friends who might be shomer Shabbos. In other words, even though it's shayach to say, well, I didn't have Edom then, but we have Edom now that they live together. Let that be an Edus. Rav Moshe Tainas, that all of the later Be'ilais were not L'shem Kedushin, because they were Bayel al Das Kedushin HaRishayim. They weren't Bayel to make a marriage. In other words, the subsequent Be'ilais. They were Bayel because they thought they were married in the ceremony. And vibalt, that ceremony wasn't valid, it's not chal. Now, Rav Henkin was chaylik. Rav Henkin was a great paisek. Maybe he's less meforsome than Rav Maisha, but he was truly one of the gedolei hador. Rav Henkin said, he fundamentally disagreed with Rav Maisha on what does it mean to be bayal l'shem kedushin. Rav Henkin tainis, to be bayal l'shem kedushin doesn't mean you're bayel to be kinder her as a wife, but you're bayel her because she is your wife. In other words, Rav Moshe's taina that you're bayel al derech kedushin erishayim, and therefore you're not bayel l'shem kedushin. Rav Henkin taina that is being bayel l'shem kedushin. You're bayel as an expression of ishus. And if there are from people who know that you're living together, then we paskin ede yichud or blib like ede bia. So Rav Henkin's own shita was that these marriages do need a get, and according to Rav Henkin, there'd be a chashash of mamzeris for the second marriage. The minhag ha'olam is the paskin like Rav Moshe, but I will tell you, Rav Yashiv does say l'chumra, when it's possible to get a get from these invalid marriages, you get a get. If the kid's already born, he's willing to matur the child b'diyevet as not being a mamzer. But l'chatchila, the woman should not marry without getting a get. Huh?
Already born, what is in the womb?
Conceive, once he's conceived, yeah.
Why is it a problem with orphans then?
Huh?
Most orphans, I mean, their parents probably didn't have like a valid marriage l'chatchila anyway.
It could be. On the other hand, the question is, when Chazal made the gezeira of Shtuki and Asufi, the question is whether they allowed you to be samech and right. I mean, that would be the problem. It's an issue to Rabban. Raisa, Shtuki, Nasufi is mutcher, but Chazal were geyser. Now, I'll tell you, I actually had a case. This was an amazing thing. just to show you how you have to be baidik, this was a case of a guy who was like 30 years old from a second marriage, which means his mother was divorced from her first husband more than 30 years before this event. And the person was becoming a Baal Tshuva, and he became aware that he might be a mamzer. Now the problem is his mother's first marriage was conducted by an Orthodox chazan in a small town in Massachusetts. So since he was wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael, the shiloh was given to Rav Yashiv to Paskin. And Rav Yashiv instructed, based in America, to try to investigate were there kosher eidim at the first marriage. Now, how do you investigate? It's very hard to determine 30 years before, was there a kosher? So what we had was this. We actually, the rabbi of that kehila was living in Washington at the time, and he knew the chazan. And he had no idea about this particular wedding, but the rabbi said, people love to get this chazan, because this chazan, he was two for one. He was both a chazan and he was Masada Kedushin. So they only had to pay one guy instead of two people. But he said that the from Balabatim in the show disliked this chazan so much, he could never get from people to go with him. So Kiseder, although he himself was one Shomer Shabbos, he was never able to get another Shomer Shabbos to go with him. Now, this is like hearsay and rumor. I mean, this was not an Edus on the Etzem marriage. This is just a rabbi saying, nobody liked the chazan, so you know he never got a Shomer Shabbos to go with him.
But the Seder Kedushin can count as one eight?
Yes. So that would be okay. So we brought this back to Rav Yashiv. And, you know, when you went to Rav Yashiv, you only get like one chance. You know, don't stutter. If you stutter, you're out. I mean, you only have one chance to present your question, and it's like 35 seconds. And, you know, no follow-ups and no clarifications. You know, so be it as it may, we managed to spit out the question. And this difficult question, this looked like it was like the 10th question like this he got that day. In other words, it was no big deal. You know, he decided another one of these American questions. But he paskened, right? He paskened right away. He says, to take off mamzeris zamaspik, he says. Meaning to say he was able to be Saimech on this type of rumor. He says, if it would be a question of the woman getting married, we would tell the woman not to get married, try to get a get, or whatever it is. But if a child is already born or conceived, and if we validate the first Kedushin, the child would be a mamzer. He says, for mamzeris, we're allowed to be made.
But they have to get divorced.
Well, they should. Probably the first husband was dead anyway by then. You know, it wasn't Nogaya, but yeah, they would have to get divorced.
But it comes to man from people getting married. Does that mean you should not have kosher?
So I have heard it said in the name of Rav David Cohen in Flatbush that he tells religious people who are at non-religious weddings that they should not agree to be Edim. And number two, they should be mechavein, because even if you're not appointed to be an aide, if you're watching it, you might become an aide unless you're disqualified by the chasun and the kala. So you should be mechavein not to be an aide or look away. And that way, if chas v'shalom they don't get a get or there's an aguna problem or whatever it is, you're not going to validate the kedushin. Now that's
you
a very
see the ring. You don't see the ring on.
Well, if you don't see it, you don't see it. But he made a point. Don't see it. In other words, be sure not to see the. Now, im halacha nekabel im ladin leishuv. In other words, not everybody agrees with this hashgafa, because some say the idea is the following: that's for a non-religious couple, you know, to get married and cholapachas have a kedushin and have a sanctified union, which will enable them perhaps to become part of Klal Yisrael, is inherently a good thing. It can lead to good things. And it wouldn't be proper to, some would say, to be mineya them from a kedushin on this, because there'll be a problem, maybe a get later on or whatever. So some people disagree with this idea. Some people say, fakir, dance at their chasna. You know, in a time of intermarriage, it's always a miracle. When a yid marries a yid, you know, there's a certain celebration there. Because even if they're not religious, you know, the probabilities of intermarriage are so great. One out of two Jewish marriages are with a goy, And in some smaller communities in America, it's 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10. So when Jews marry Jews, some say, fakir, try to encourage it. But Rav David Cohen did say, he says, don't be an A and let the marriage be no good. Yeah.
Just to clarify, just being in the crowd will make you an A?
Well, yes, yes, you are, yes. You don't have to be appointed. That's why we announce often at a chuppah that the chasna v'kala are miyached eidim to the exclusion of everybody else. If they didn't exclude, anyone that sees could theoretically become an aid.
Yeah, what if you got a relative in the crowd?
What's wrong with that?
You have two eidim in case they're not...
Well, what's wrong? No. There's something very wrong with that, because what's wrong with that is nimtz echem yem karav u'pasel. In other words, if you have 100 eidim, and even one of them is pasel,
The whole thing is pasel.
So for care, just to say everybody's an aid, that may make it much worse than...
Minastam?
Yeah.
Minastam.
Well, it would see. I mean, lachar it's a chumrah. I think min astam, if the chasna and the kala are miyache two people, even if they don't say the words, we're posseling, I think min astam, that will be understood that no one else is a witness. So I think it's a chumrah, really, to say the possel. I think it's nichlal in a yichud. But you do need a yichud. You do need a statement, atem edai, you are my witnesses. Or at least the announcer is the chasna shaliach. When the announcer says, Reuven and Shimon are the Edom, that's a shlichus of the chasa to be miyachid, and miyachid the Edom. Okay? So that's the issue of Mamzer, that's very, very negeya, b'zman hazeh. And really, Rav Moshe was matzil, thousands and thousands of people from the problem of Mamzeris, which is a great tikkun in and of itself. But let's go back to adoption for a moment. That is, people adopt sometimes, and we're told to adopt goyim because that avoids problems. But immediately when they adopt goyim, they want to be megayer, right? They want to have a Jewish kid. Now here, everybody hears about Israel, that it's hard for conversions to get accepted in Israel. So typically they'll go over to you and say, "I want a conversion that's accepted in Israel." That's the line. Now, not that they're planning on moving to Israel. I want to resist in Israel now. The truth of the matter is, b'zman hazeh, you can give them a relatively easy answer. You could say, hey, even my conversions are not accepted in Israel. Don't worry. It used to be, with the Rabbanut, that conservative and reform conversions weren't accepted, but Orthodox conversions were. Now Orthodox conversions aren't accepted either. So, you know, you could say, hey, we're the same boat. But the problem is the following. The problem you're going to face, and this is more of a pressure problem than a halachic problem, but I'll discuss the halachas a little bit, is parents who are not fully shomer mitzvos want you to be megayer their infant children kahalacha. And the question is, what are the standards for ger katan? Now, an adult person, the halacha is pretty clear. We are not allowed to be megayer an adult unless the adult is mekabel mitzvos. Right? If an adult says, I want to become Jewish, but I don't want to keep Shabbos, we're not allowed to be Megayerim, right? So for an adult, that's Pasha. But the question is, what is the standard when you're Megayer, a baby, or a Katan? So this is actually a sugya in Maseches Ksuvas that says, number one, can you be Megayer or Katan? So Shteit in Gemara, Ger Katan, Davtes, Matbilin Oso, Al Das Beistin. We can be Toivel, and who at Dinmal, we can be Toivel a Ger Katan, even though the chayr, he's not able to be makabel mitzvahs. He's a katan. He's a baby even. But the beis din can supply the das. We can be megayer him. And the svara the Gemara says is, he has no das. Zochin li adam shalei b'fanav. We can confer benefits on people, even without their knowledge, as long as they don't protest. And since being a yid is a zechus, we can do a geiris under the aside of zochin li adam shalei b'fanav, as I state in the Gemara. Now, the shaila is like this, which means intrinsically you don't need kabbalas mitzvah here because he's a katan. The geiris works al sechia. So many poskim say that it's a zechus to be a yid only if he's going to be raised to keep mitzvahs. If he's not going to be raised to keep mitzvahs, if he's going to eat treif, if he's going to be mechalel Shabbos, it would have been better for him to be a goy, because a goy doesn't have any averus on this regard. A yid does. So Rav Moshe's mahalach is, and Rav Moshe's mahalach is really mekubal among in America, and it's a chumra, it's a strict mahalach, is that it's not shayach to be machshir even b'di'evet, the geiris of a katan, if the parents are not shomer mitzvahs, because it's not shayach to make the assumption that that geiris is a zechus. Aye, maybe it'll be a zechus, because, you know, maybe he'll do tshuva, maybe this and that, but ein safek mitzvah b'di'evadai. Right now the matzav is, he's being born into an environment which is not going to keep the mitzvahs. It's not shayach zechia. If it's not shayach zechus, you can't do the geiris. So according to Rav Moshe, you cannot be megayer a katan al das beistin if he's not going to be raised in a religious home. Now, let me just mention, there are paiskin, and again, Rav Yoshev holds like Rav Moshe on this, so that's strict. But there are paiskin who take a different view, and they say that even though I couldn't be megayer the parents if they're not shomer mitzvahs, but if the shaila is on the child, and I'm simply asking, is being a yid better than being a goy? The answer is, being a yid, even if he's in a matzav or he's not keeping mitzvahs, is better than being a goy, because the yid can do tshuva, the yid can be exposed to things, the yid can come to our sameach, etc. And therefore, looking at his life as a whole, there is the potential for bracha and hatzlacha, and therefore that is enough to justify the Zachin Liadam Shlobafanav. There's a middle view a little bit, that says the following. They will do a Giyor, even if the parents are not fully from, but they will have certain Tanoim. They will only do the Giyor if the child will be enrolled in a from educational setting, because then you're at least creating the odds where he will be exposed to Torah. And the hope would be that eventually that would have a hashpah.
What about Koyis Halikla Mabash? Even if he doesn't make it to Osameach, he's still going to be in a goy.
Well, the question becomes, it's a little bit of a circle, because the question is, yeah, Yisrael has a Halikla Mabash, but here, he actually is a goy, right? Elamai, we're Megayer him, because if it's a Sechus. So, it could be that the zechus that allows the giyur is a zechus of shmiras mitzvahs, and if he doesn't have that, then the geirus is not a zechus, and then he's a goy, not a yid. In other words, kol yisrael yesh lo b'chelek olamabah requires that he be a yisrael, but here you're gufa daning on whether the geirus makes him a yisrael. Right? You have a problem in that way.
No, I'm saying he's always going to be a zechus to be a Jew. Yeah. So that's the zechus to zachen adam shelo b'fanav.
Even if he's being punished as a non-religious Jew, he'll be rewarded as well, and reward is far greater than the punishment.
Rewarded for what?
Rav being Jewish.
Rav Lev said last week, Kiddush, he said, the plan of Hashem was to give Lechem a Kesufa, whatever it is, right?
Right.
But then he decided to do free will. Right. So it must be that it can't be any worse than the original plan. Whatever you get, even if you mess up your free will, it can't be any worse than getting the Schar with the Busha. Because otherwise it defeats the whole purpose to want to create.
Oh, I see. In other words, originally Hashem would have given us goodness without us earning it at all.
Yeah.
Elamai, Namadik Yisufa. So that's a mudra thing. So you're saying Rav Lef was saying, I will get as much, if I don't keep mitzvahs at all, I will get as much reward as I would have gotten under the original plan?
You're being ahead of him for hundreds of thousands of years. At some point you're going to get, there'll be some kind of a keep them that you'll get some minimum good.
Meaning the reward you would have got if I'd shown you for free, ultimately.
But that's a lot of reward. Okay, that's pretty amazing. Okay, I hear. Well, that might be the svar too. That might be the svar. As I say, there are three mahalchim in poskim, right? Rav Moshe's mahalach is gotta be from. The opposite mahalach is to be a Jew is a zchus no matter what. And the third mahalach is you have to set it up where at least there's a probability of exposure to Torah. day school, and the like. So you will be confronted. Now, again, I'm not sure if you're going to be the ones who are going to paskin on Geirus or not. One should have someone to refer to in all cases. But this will be a big lachatz, meaning to say parents will push you a lot. And I tell you the truth, in my experience, when I was approached in this situation, I tended to follow Rav Moshe, and the parents just went to another rabbi who followed the other psak, you know, and whatever. And that's what happens in America, which is actually part of the reason why American Geirus is less accepted in Israel than it used to be, precisely because there is not a uniform standard. Whether it's some are following this standard, some are following that standard. Rabbi Yashiv has the standard, which is not the same as the more Makel standard. So you're going to have a big problem. Now, I'm mentioning Ger Katan. Keep in mind, by Ger Gadol L'chaira, this is the problem. By a Ger Gadol L'chaira, there's no Shaila at all. You have to have Kabbalah's mitzvahs. By a Gadol, right? And yet, here too we have problems. Because the question is, how clear must the Beis Din know? In other words, sometimes there's a concept like this. You might call it closing your eyes to the obvious by not asking questions. And once again, this is not a product of halachic judgment. This is a problem of tremendous pressure. You have to know that in congregational settings that have a lot of non-religious members, where intermarriage is common, but they don't want intermarriage, they want a quickie conversion, there's a tremendous pressure you'll get from your gevirim, your presidents, or your vice presidents, to say, I want you to convert my son-in-law. We're getting married in 2 weeks. You got to have a conversion. Kind of in that tone that if you want your job, you know, convert him, kahalocha, in a way that Eretz Yisrael will accept it. You know. These are kind of the demands that they give you. Now, the Rav kind of suspects that if the president is not really that religious and his daughter's not that religious, it's not so likely son-in-law is going to be a more frum person than the Jewish family he's marrying into. So you have a game in which don't ask too many questions. I'm not saying I don't think I've done that game, but I'm describing a problem, a lachatz. So I'm trying to be realistic to what you face in these matters. And that is, you ask the person like, are you willing to regard Shabbos as a special day? Without getting into the pratim of the lamites malachas. And the guy says, sure. You know, that's when I watch the football game or whatever it is. Special, very special day. You know, the point basically is that there is a nominal verbal idea that I'll keep the Torah, but it's not pinned down to specifics, and there's kimat an umdana, meaning a real assessment that there's not going to be a serious shmiras mitzvahs. The big shaila lahalacha is this. The most makel view says that as long as the guy didn't say, I'm not going to keep mitzvahs, then any mental reservations that he has is nichlal in the klal called devarim shebelev einam devarim. Hidden reservations don't affect what you did l'maisa. L'maisa, you converted. You didn't say befeirish you weren't going to keep mitzvahs. Devarim shebelev. However, most poskim say that even if it's true that devarim shebelev einam devarim, when it's an umdana, when it's very clear what the guy's planning on doing, that is ki'ilu, he said it. So this is why we have the problem, both in Chutz Laretz and Eretz Yisrael, of batei din, invalidating conversions. Now people say, how can you invalidate a conversion l'mafreya? Well, you're not really, it's really not described properly. It's not that you're saying, oh, if a guy goes off the derech 10 years later, we're going to be mavakal his conversion l'mafreya. V'shteitzach, if a ger goes off the derech, he's like any yid who goes off the derech, right? A ger who goes off the derech is still a Jew. But the pshat is, if the pshat is going off the derech, meaning he never intended l'chatchila to be makabel mitzvahs, not that he went off the derech later, but he never intended l'chatchila to be makabel mitzvahs, that's a chisaron in the geirus. The same way, if he didn't have a bris, it wouldn't be a geirus. If he didn't go to the mikveh, it wouldn't be a geirus. If there was no kavana to be makabel mitzvahs, and that's an umdana. If it was devarim shebelev mamish, maybe einachinami, his hidden machshava wouldn't shter. But if it's an umdana, so mimela, it's not the pshat where mavadol the geiris. There was no geiris to begin with. This is the predicament that we have in Eretz Israel now with thousands of the Russian conversions. This is a big issue with geiris in America, both in America and coming here. And it's unfortunately, it's a very, very big mavucha. Just to give you a little bit of a funny story, although I think it's a problematical story. When Rav Yashiv was a dayan in the Beis Din HaGadol, Rav Yashiv was with the Rabbanut for many years, and he had the Rishus, not only the Rishus, but he had the Haskama of the Brisker Rav and the Chazanish. They felt that since the Rabbanut was handling Gershin, Geirus, and Ishus, and Mamzerus, and everything else, it was important that they had a gadol in the Rabbanut. So Rav Yashiv was given Rishus. Even when it was in Heichal Shlomo, even though the Brisker Rav, you know, Heichal Shlomo and King George was the original seat of the Rabbanut. Now I think it's mainly a theater, it looks like. They're always showing movies there. But the Brisker Rav, like Heichal Shlomo, infuriated him. Like he put charamim against anybody walking into the building. Cannot even walk into the building. You know, this is how strict the Brisker Rav was. And Rav Yashiv worked in the building for a number of years. He was there every day, the whole day. Although eventually the base then moved. And Rav Yashiv had his share of people timing on him. What are you doing? And he said that the Brisker Rav doesn't mean me. And it's true. The Brisker Rav said to Feirish that he was mechuyev to be there. But the story was, he never wanted to be metapil in Geiris, because he felt Kabbalah's mitzvahs is so shvach. So the story goes, and this is in the biography. Have you seen this, the two-volume biography of Rav Yashiv that came out? So this is in the biography. It says that in the morning he would show up to the Beis Din, and there would be a tick. In other words, there were different files that were assigned to the different dayanim every day. He would go through his file. I mean, I'm saying it because it's in the book. He says, if there was a Geiris file, he just put it in someone else's drawer. he would just change a file. I'll take this one. You know, he came early every morning to be sure he didn't get a Geiris case. This is at Kedei Kach that he was so worried about this. So this is the issue you're going to see a lot. And as they say, it's not so much a halachic issue. It's a never plus that you're not Megayer, the son-in-law who's not from. But you're going to get a lot of lachats. There's a lot of pressure. And Rabbanim have lost their jobs over these things because people want there to be quickie conversions without serious Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Now, I'll tell you that in Washington, one of the day schools is a modern Orthodox day school. No, as modern Orthodox schools go, it's okay. It's a co-ed school. And they would sometimes accept kids from conservative and reform conversions, whose mothers, the kids were goyim, because the mother was conservative reform conversion, on the smach that through the Orthodox chinuch, the child would then undergo either a ger katan, right, the ger katan, or when their bas mitzvah or bar mitzvah become religious. And the standard idea was that we'll give them a year or two in the school in the hope there would be a shmiras mitzvahs, an Orthodox conversion. One of the kids went through the school for 10 years without ever having a giyur. So she graduated a Jewish religious high school, technically having the status of a goy. Not only that, but because she was actually a very good student and she actually liked Judaism a lot, but she was not Jewish, she happened to be valedictorian of the class. So the school had a real dilemma here. Are we supposed to give a diploma that this is a graduate of the Hebrew Academy of Greater Washington who happens to be a goy? I mean, after all, in some circles, that might be proof that she's Jewish. She wants to go out on a shidduch. And, so, you know, and people ask the question, well, are you Jewish? Says, yeah, sure, I was valedictorian of the Hebrew Academy, which is an Orthodox Jewish day school. I mean, what on earth do you do? So they were thinking of, writing in Hebrew on the back of her diploma, Goya, you know, whatever. You know,
she's valedictorian. She can't read that.
Yeah, of course, she can. Of course, she can read it. That's
right.
You know, no, but she under, you know, you know. So these are the instances where you know you try to make psharis to make everybody happy. In other words, let's take the non-Jewish kid in, and we'll expose her to Torah, and Yiras Shemayim, and she'll vow I become religious. And then for 10 years she isn't, and then she graduates. And you're sending out a guy to the world who has the imprimatur of the credentials of being a valedictorian of an Orthodox school. Big problem. Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanas. After graduation, she came to Eretz Yisrael. So she got into a seminary, which again is a problem. They took her in. And just last year, I've been following this story. Last year she did convert Kahalacha here. So now, Baruch Hashem, she's a Jewish woman. But again, but for a number of years, people were going crazy exactly how to deal with this problem, this situation. In other words, what I'm saying is, Jewish Orthodox schools are releasing Goyim into the Jewish world, and they don't even realize that they're Goyim sometimes. Yep.
Earlier on, they asked her to become a Jew, and every time she just said, no, I don't want
it. You know, I don't know what the procedure was. She says she wasn't ready yet because she wanted to take it seriously. In other words, she didn't want to convert to Orthodoxy. Actually, it's to her credit. She didn't just want to say, I want to do it. She didn't want to do it until she really wanted to do it. It happened to be she wasn't ready to want to do it until 2 years after her high school graduation. You know, but it's a big problem. I mean, people certainly look at diplomas from Jewish schools as at least some evidence that somebody's Jewish, right?
But she's not going to go out on a date with a Jewish boy if she knows she's a guy.
I don't know. See, it depends. You have to. No, one second. No, one second. You have to understand. You have to understand the mindset here. Her mother had a conservative conversion. Now, think about it this way: if she did not want to become Orthodox, that might mean because it is her Hashkafic view that my mother is validly Jewish. Therefore, I am. Now, if that is her shita, then she may not have a problem going out. In fact, she may want to marry a Jewish guy because she might be against intermarriage. In other words, it all depends on... See, what I'm saying is, it all depends on why she didn't have an Orthodox conversion. If the pshat is she knows she's a guy until she has an Orthodox conversion, but she's not ready to accept mitzvahs, then your conclusion is correct. Such a mindset, she's not going to go out with Jews. But if the pshat is, I don't need an Orthodox conversion because my mother is already Jewish, then fakert, she'll have no problem with going out with Jews. She says, I am Jewish. I am as Jewish as you. Right? So it depends on what the shita is. Yeah.
So what do we come out with these conversions that they didn't take it so serious? It was like for marriage. But they actually did it through like these Orthodox rabbis and stuff.
Yeah. So Rav Yashiv's shita is that those geiris are totally batal and mevutal, and they are goyim. That's Rav Yosef Shita. Other paiskim do say, at least b'di'eved l'chumra, b'di'eved you have to treat it as suffix.
Are they allowed their kids? Same thing?
Yes, the same thing. I mean, you have to understand, when the Beis Din Al Pi Rav Yosef invalidated these conversions, some of these people had grandchildren learning in Kailo. And they were all goyim, at least if it's through the daughters. So there's someone who'd been in Panovich, 5 years, and he gets the word that he's a goy because his grandmother was not makabel mitzvos, seriously, even though there was an Orthodox conversion. Yeah, so this wrecks havoc. It's a very, very serious, very, very serious matter. But it's mesubach, because some people say, the Bach, I'll give you an example. The Bach says, Beferish, that b'di'eved, a geiris is valid without Kabbalah's mitzvahs. B'di'eved. So according to the Bach, these would be Jews. Rav Yashiv says we don't paskin like the Bach. But the Bach is the Bach. The Bach is
so would you give these guys, kids, Aliyah Latera or Bar Mitzvah? Or like, what do you do? You tell them, he's been coming to your shul the whole time.
This is a kid of...
Yeah.
Well, I would try to discuss it with the father as to what needs to be done. You may not be able to give them an idea.
They want to hear that their wife's not Jewish.
Sometimes,
especially in the Persian community, it's like a big insult. And then at his own wedding, he's dancing with his wife, in public, or like by his kid's bris, they have mixed dancing, and she's definitely a needle. There's no question.
Well, okay.
Well, she's a good.
Yeah, that's right. you know.
This is a conversion by a big kosher rabbi. I told you the name. Like everybody knows the name of the rav too. Like, to me, it never made sense how it's possible.
Well, the question becomes: to what degree, as they say, there is one halachic basis. That's the Bach. Now, the question is: to what degree can you be samech on the Bach? I'll tell you, Rabbi Yashiv is not samech on the Bach. I think it's gemalt, at least in some cases, not to embarrass people, to be samech on the Bach for certain purposes and the like. You know, so the yisayid is just remember this yisayid. The Bach says that al pi the Rambam, Kabbalas mitzvahs is not ma'akev, the validity of a geiris b'di'evit. This is the Bach. So that is an important yisayid. As they say, Rav Yashiv is not makabalitz.
So what does that mean exactly? That mean a person can not become a tzvot
and
he's a chiloni.
That's correct. Now, I want to emphasize, even the Bach doesn't say l'chatchila you're allowed to be megayer somebody. In other words, nobody says you're allowed to be megayer somebody who's not makabal mitzvahs. That's not the question. But the Bach says if a Beis Din was megayer a person who did not intend to keep any mitzvahs, the Bach says, b'di'evet, he is Jewish.
On what basis? Why is he
Jewish? Because the Bach says, milah and tefillah is the only thing you need.
Why?
The Bach learns that there's no clear mucker in the Gemara. I mean, the Bach is right. The Bach says there's no clear mucker in the Gemara. You need Kabbalah Smitzah.
And evet kanani means the Torah? So yeah. According to the Bach, every evet kanani is a yid.
Why?
Because he had
Mila,
and he had...
No. He's doing the Shem Avdus, not the Shem Geirus.
So there is some sort of L'Shem Geirus he needs to do. So the Bach says,
the L'Shem Geirus is, I want to be a member of the Jewish people.
But not to be religious.
And not be religious. In other words, the Bach's title, right? The Bach was a religious Zionist, I don't know. The Bach is saying, I want to be a member of the Jewish people. Now again, I want to emphasize once again, the Bach is not saying this l'chatchila, that's for sure. That's a beferish gemara, you are not allowed. So how they were Magayer, I'm not going to answer. In other words, the Bach is not giving a heter to be Magayer somebody who's not Makabel Mitzvahs. The Bach is saying, if b'di'evet the geiris was done, it's the guy's Jewish. That's all the Bach is saying. That's a big chiddush. That's a tremendous chiddush anyway. But it's not mattering the geir itself. Okay, the Bach does not say you're allowed to be a guy. So the Bach is an important shita to be aware of. Again, as Rav Yashiv doesn't follow it. If you're confronted with that situation about giving someone an aliyah, I mean, the Bach is one of the gedolei apaiskim. The emphasis is the Bach is someone that you could be semichan in many, many circumstances. Okay? These are some of the issues of Gior. I do want to end with one thing, and that is, I'm not sure I should tell you this, maybe I'll tell you this anyway. It's an interesting bit of gossip, although it's Nagei Olamdus as well. And that is, you know, in the 1970s, there were a brother and sister, Miriam and Chanoch Langer, who came from Chaluni families, and the Rabbanut had determined that they were Mamzerim. They were Mamzerim because their mother didn't have a get from her first husband, and the first marriage was a valid marriage. So they were registered as Mamzerim, who cannot marry non-Mamzerim, etc. They didn't like this, and for some reason this became a political, I don't even know who was the prime minister then, maybe Levi Eshko, I don't know. But this was Golda Meir. This was a big, big mavucha. The Mariv and Yediyot, all the papers were saying, oh, the rabbis are in the dark ages. They have blacklistings and mamzer lists and everything else. And they demanded that something be done to stop this injustice. So there really was nothing that could be done. But Rav Shlomo Gorin, who at the time was the chief rabbi of the Israeli army, and he was becoming the rabbi of Tel Aviv, and eventually he became the Rav HaRashi of Ashkenazi, convened a secret Beis Din. He did not even reveal the names of the people because he thought they would be harassed. He only revealed his name. He wrote a kuntres of 50 pages, and he matired Chanoch and Miriam Langer not to be mamzerim. And what was his yisayid? Listen to this. His yisayid was that the woman's first husband was a ger from Poland, Avram Borodansky. And Avram Borodansky had become a chiloni, he had stopped keeping mitzvahs. So Rav Gorin said, oh, since he had stopped keeping mitzvahs, that shows he never intended to be mekabel mitzvahs, therefore he was a goy. If he was a goy, Mrs. Langer was never married to him, and therefore, marriage number two, the kids are not mamzerim. So Rav Yashiv actually left. This is why Rabbi Gorin became Rafa Rashi, because he was so popular in the press at the time that, wow, this is a guy that can solve every problem. A modern person, who can solve everything. So he became, so Ravadja was the Sephardic Rav, and he didn't talk to Rabbi Gorin. And Rav Yashiv left the Rabbanut in protest over this. He resigned from a very good job. He was the head of the Beis Din HaGadol, and he left because he could not be seivel of this type of thing. Now, at the time, the taina on Rav Gorin was, how can you be mevatel a geirus because a ger stops keeping mitzvahs? Just because a ger stops keeping mitzvahs doesn't mean his geirus is no good. Now, if you want to be a little sarcastic, you can say, well, wait a second here. The Charedesh world, the Torah world, was criticizing Rav Gorin because he was mevatel a geirus because of someone who stopped keeping mitzvahs, and they said, that's not possible. And let's go forward 40 years, where that's exactly what the Torah world is doing now, where they're mevatel a geirus because the guy's not keeping mitzvahs. So the Chayra people would say, hey, this is unfair. When Rav Gorin did it, so many years ago, it was, kfira and the worst thing, Ziyaf HaTorah, and that's exactly what they're doing now. But Yesh L'chalik, it's important that you understand that. You're going to see this in the newspaper, in which they bring up this thing. They say, what Rav Yashiv does is exactly the thing that he quit because Rav Gorin did it. So why is Rav Yashiv better than Rav Gorin? Right? This is what people say. So I want to point out, there's a very important chilik. And the chilik basically is, was there an umdana at the time of the Kabbalah's mitzvahs? In other words, to say that a ger who stops keeping mitzvahs later is mevatel the gerus, that you don't say. A Jew becomes a Jew if he stops keeping mitzvahs. Yisrael ava bishachot. What Rav Gorin was doing is Rav Gorin was being mevatel a gerus based on the mere fact that later he stopped keeping mitzvahs. Rav Yashiv Chas V'Shalom is never saying that. Nobody's saying that. But if it's clear to us that at the time of the Geirus there was no intention of keeping mitzvahs, unlike the Bach, right? So that's the chilek. In other words, there's a chilek. It's not simply a general question, you stop keeping mitzvahs from Mavatel the Geirus. There has to be an umdana that at the time of the Kabbalah's mitzvahs there wasn't the Kabbalah. And that's the chiluk between Rav Gorin's situation.
Does Rav Gorin have any backing for stock?
No, except other than his anonymous basedom, which he didn't ever release their name.
Is he on that level to make
I don't want to get into it too much. I will say the following. Rav Gorin was a very, very brilliant man who knew a lot of Torah. He really he was an Eloi in Chevron and really an Eloi, a mechaber of Svarim. And he paskived, he wrote shuvas, he paskived a lot, but he's a very, very controversial figure. In many, many ways, many, many gedolim thought of him as maybe bending some of the rules to achieve results that were politically agreeable. So in the general Torah world, and again, I want to speak respectfully of him because he did many, many good things, but in the general Torah world, he was regarded as kind of a maverick, and his pesukim were not considered to be reliable as piskei halacha itself. That's it. So this was a pesuk that was tremendously divisive. And as I say, Rav Yashiv, and not just Rav Yashiv, many dayanim, almost all the dayanim on the Beis Din HaGadol, literally resigned their positions in protest as a mecha over this pesuk. Now, let me give you another example just to show you. The Gemara says by Shaul HaMelech, anyone that is merachem when you're supposed to be an achzor, Amalek, he should have killed them. And he has rachmanas. At the end, he's going to be an achzor when you have to have rachmim. That's when he kills Nov, Irak, Kohanim. There was another Geirus case. And look at this case. This involved a Dr. Helen Zeideman, who was a woman who underwent a Reformed conversion. And she wanted to marry a Kohen. I mean, number one, she's a Goya, but she can't have an Orthodox conversion because she had to marry a Kohen. And the Basin refused to megayer her, and Rav Gorin found some basis to be megayer her, maybe based on the Bach or whatever. It's not even clear. So on one hand, he's mevatel yener conversion because the guy stops keeping mitzvahs, but then he's megayer the woman who is right now not keeping mitzvahs even at the time of her Kabbalah. And there was the funniest letter. When he did this, a letter was written by the head of the Reform Rabbinate in America, thanking Rev Gorin for adopting as part of halacha the Reform standards for conversion. And they said, I'm very glad to see a halachic scholar who kind of follows our conversion standards. But I just want to say our standards are a little stricter because we require a longer waiting period. You did it in 2 weeks. We require at least 3 months. So perhaps you ought to reconsider to be as strict as the Reform movements in your admission of new Jews.
Did he allow the marriage?
Huh?
Did he allow the marriage?
A ger can't marry a
kohen. He didn't allow the marriage, but he said he did the gerus and do whatever you do. He didn't marry them, but you know, whatever it is. Okay, so okay, I don't know what to make of all this, but just things. So if you could, I guess the lesson, if you could avoid doing gerus, that would be the best
thing. Give the file to somebody else.
Give the file, right? Okay.